Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience joining us in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, as well as tuning in online on the East Coast through Atlantis106LiveRadio.com and our good friends joining us through BlogTalkRadio.com. We're glad that you could join us as well. I was just saying to our next guest, it's been quite a while since she last was on this program, but Cheryl Mallory Johnson has definitely been busy in that time. I first spoke with her when she was at the time promoting her book, Sense of Love. Since then, she's written books like Love and Regrets and even a book for young readers as well. This year, though, she has a brand new novel that's available. It's called The Hand She Played. Now, the she in this book is really interesting because there are three very different women that we're able to be introduced to. We'll talk to Cheryl about that, as well as, of course, what it's been like for her this time around to be able to use new media to promote her book, as well as what it's been like for her to see the response to the characters as well. If you're just now hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Cheryl, hello to you. Welcome back to the program.
Well, hello, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me again. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, the pleasure's definitely all mine. As I was saying, you know, this is, I believe, and I think I said this even in my review, this is without a doubt your best book. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, because the characters, I think, are so well-developed, and I think they are so real. I think that people will feel as though they know them or may even see parts of themselves. But I also think the journey that you send these characters on, Cheryl, has been really interesting and something that people can relate to. What has that been like for you already to see the way that people are responding to, for one thing, the sisters, but also the mother aspect as well of the story?
Yeah, okay, I'll answer that question in, momentarily, but what I wanted to say was I think you are correct when you say this is my best book yet. I felt it was, and as you know, I hadn't been on the show since 2009. I've written, at the time I wrote Sense of Love, and actually I launched two books at the same time, Sense of Love and my young adult book. And then it was about 4 years later when I came out with Love and Regrets. But like I said, practice makes perfect. And I just think that I went to another level in terms of really understanding who I am as a writer, the depth of what I know, particularly when it comes to our humanity. And and I got back to what I know. And as you know, I have a master's degree in social work, and for many years I worked for Children's Services. So, and I work with families who experience some of the same issues that are covered in my book. So I think that's where the depth came in and the character development, but also just becoming more of a seasoned writer, which I think shows in this book. In terms of, I think you said, what are the responses I've been getting from it? Is that your
right, exactly.
Question?
Yeah. What has it been like for you to see the response to it?
Always exciting. I mean, every writer, you know, wants to hear that people love their work. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we're here for. It's not about writing for ourselves. It's about writing for the audience and the readers. So I'm thrilled every time I get a message. Matter of fact, I was looking on my Facebook right now, and I saw someone wrote, awesome book. You know, and or people just say, I'm just connected with the characters, or they touch my heart, or I want to know more about their lives and what's going to happen next, hint, 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 with this book. So I'm just always thrilled, and it's just important to me that people, particularly people that know me well, don't see me, that they actually see characters in real people. And I find it very interesting to have dialogue with people about characters like they're real people. And I actually forget
right.
myself that they're my characters and I have any association with their development. But it makes me know that, like I always tell them, if they touched your heart, then I did my job. If you're moved by the story, then I did my job. If you're gripped by the story, I did my job. And that's all any writer wants at the end of the day. It's just to know that we were able to have an impact on the lives of our readers. Essential.
Right. Yeah. You know, I want to go to the actual way that you've been able to unveil this book, because you did something different. I mentioned in my intro that you used new media more this time around. I think more so than I've seen you with any other book, Cheryl. You used Facebook. You had that virtual, you know, event that I had the opportunity to be a part of. I mean, have you realized now that that is one of the big ways to be able to reach your readers, to be able to reach them where they are, and that being social media?
Absolutely. And remember, we're talking 2009 when I came out with Sense of Love. So social media has changed drastically, and it has opened up a lot of doors for particularly indie authors to reach the audience and market books. And as you mentioned, I did do a virtual launch. It was my first experience, very daunting, but very exciting. I mean, I just loved having an opportunity to reach people that I wouldn't typically reach had I had a traditional launch at home. I would, you know, invite only the people that were able to come. Well, with the virtual launch, I was able to invite people across the nation and people who had not read my books before, and to introduce myself in an entirely different way. So in that respect, absolutely, social media is great. Then we have Instagram, which is great, Twitter, which is great. Not very good at Twitter, to be quite honest with you. I really love Facebook because I really think it's a more intimate social networking opportunity where you actually interface with people on the regular and not just about my book. So, you know, I talk about a lot of things, politics and, you know, any other issue that is near and dear to my heart that I discuss on Facebook. So it's just an excellent opportunity. And in a sense, I don't, as you may know, if you have a fan page through Facebook, you then can actually promote yourself and reach even more people. So,
right.
Yeah, it's changed drastically since 2009. And it's really not just for authors, and I'm sure you know that. It's an opportunity for anybody who is in business or anybody who has a passion and wants to reach people outside their circle and wants to touch the world. I always tell people, you know, if they're reluctant to do Facebook, I said it's really the perfect medium. You should do it. It's just no other way to do it. And it's essentially free marketing.
Right.
And every author and every business person should take advantage of it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely a great mm-hmm. tool. For those who are just tuning in, either on the Radio Dollar online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Cheryl Mallory Johnson is back with us today. We're talking with her not only about her literary journey, but also her newest book, The Hand She Played. And the question asked on the front of the book is, how far would you run from the past? How did Vanjie and Angie come about for you, Cheryl?
Interesting enough, I started off with a concept, and it really wasn't about twins initially. It was just really a question that I asked myself, like, what would make a person want to have all that they want to have in the world? That was just the question, that what extent is a person willing to go to have it all? And I just started off that way. And interesting enough, when I started off originally, this person had it all, but when the story opened, they didn't have anything. And it was, how did they have it all and lose it? And that's just the process of writing, because you can only conceptualize something. And I always tell people, they say, well, how did you come with your character? I said, honestly, I just have a concept, and then it's my characters that tell me their story. And then I like to wait for them to tell me their story. So it's a difficult question for an author to answer when they allow a character to evolve. And, you know, it's like getting to know a person and not really understand their story. You first meet them, you think you know them, and you don't, and then there's so much about them and so much depth that you say, wow, I've known this person forever, and I don't know them. So
yeah.
I just took the time to get to know the characters, and then suddenly it was this, you know, this twin popped up, and it just evolved from there. And then it went into, okay, if you have, how far would you run from your past, and what are you really running from? Because to have everything you want, to be so driven, to want to have everything, to disconnect and have everything you didn't have, as you know, that Vanji and Angie come from a very impoverished background, and that the story is set in Detroit and on Lower East Side. And so I just started with that, and I think it just evolved. And like I said to you earlier, because I am, you know, really trained in humanities and I understand human behavior, I understand connections and I understand cause and effect. And you have to connect all the dots. And it's so important to me in the story to understand my character in their entirety and their fullness as human beings and not just this little snippet of a story that the reader reads, but just to get to know them. I think that's what's making readers connect so much with these characters, because they're getting the fullness of human beings, and they can like them or don't like them, but I'm not trying to, I'm giving them the option by telling them this is a human being. Now you decide based on the story whether you like the character or whether you don't like the character. And what I don't like to do is to present a character and write it in a way in which I'm trying to tell the reader how to think and how to feel. So it just kind of evolved, you know, get back to your question, I just started off with that one little basic concept, and it just kept developing and developing and developing. And, you know, with writing a book, as you know, because you've written a book, that it just takes so many twists and turns that you can't really go back and pinpoint how you got from there to here.
Right. So, did you know that the idea or the issue of mental illness was going to be something that you addressed in the book initially?
Not at all. Not at all. And you talked about it. So, you know, based on your review, you come from you talk about it when you talk about the hand she played. You say there are three women, but I never consider it three women, even though the mother has a pivotal role in terms of who the women, I mean, who the twins have evolved into, how they have evolved. I don't really consider that, but I did it. Because, you know, when you write, there are things that are in your subconscious that come forward. And because, you know, mental illness is in my family, that could be how that evolved. But I also, there was also another reason, a part of that, because as you know, as the story evolved, we get to know a lot about who these three women, as you call it, the mom and the two twins, are and how they became that way and what happens when you have such a tragedy and how do people react to it. And that goes back to our humanity, and people react to it in different ways, and one of them could be what the mom struggled with. And so I was just connecting dots. But as I said, in our subconscious, we bring forth things that we either experienced or touched upon in our lives or somebody else's lives, or clients or families that have worked in the past. It just comes forward, and then I just begin to filter it and then make it very relevant to the story, unbeknownst to my conscious, you know. So, you know, no, I didn't think so, but it's not no surprise to me because, you know, because I've dealt with it. I know a lot of people have. I've worked in the past with the severely mentally ill adults. So, you know, I think we just bring forth what we know about people. And so, right. No, I didn't know that. What made that stand out for you?
Well, a couple reasons. Because I don't think, from reading the book, I wonder if the girls would have been different if their mother was not dealing with it and they're not truly understanding it. Especially, I mean, you have the one incident where she's in the hospital and Vanjie's kind of the authoritative one trying to figure out what's happening, and realizing that, you know, that this situation is not going to be good for the life that she wants for herself, you know, and realizing that she has to be able to do something that her mother can't do, and that is take care of her. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, I wonder if her mother was not dealing with mental illness, if not so inside herself, if Benji would have been different. So that's why I wondered for myself in reading the book, you know, if her not dealing with her issues, if that was one of the reasons why the girls ended up having the issues that they had. Because then there's the whole issues, and then, of course, not to give anything away for those who haven't read it, but, I mean, even in bringing men home and that whole idea, You know, you know that. You know, I think the mother for me was pivotal because, again, she was kind of the instigator in many ways of what the others, what the other two had to experience.
And when you think about it, isn't that the case for us all? Isn't that the case for all of us in terms of, you know, our experience in life and who we become is based on our parenting and what we've dealt with? And that's kind of when I was saying to you that when I began to connect the dots, like, who is this person and how did this character and both characters evolve into, you know, or mature into their adulthood? What impacted that? And I think if we dissected any one of our lives, we could pinpoint every area in which we made critical decisions and took critical turns, be it positive or negative. So definitely the mom's struggles, not just with the mental health issues that, you know, kind of arose out of some, you know, as you know, you read the book, some real critical issues that took place, but also when you think about the mom's own history, which I touch upon in the book, that would have shaped her life. You know, if you go sit down with anybody who's in prison or anybody who, you know, who's had some real difficult challenges in life, you can start to see where their experiences started from their childhood, which started from their parents, and their parents connect with their parents. And that's right. What I really like to tell stories like that. I have a difficult time with stories that don't connect for me, that really kind of write characters in a vacuum, and you really can't see how they have become who they are. And so as you will see in most of my books, and you've read them, I'm always going to have a flashback. I'm always going to connect something that says this is why this person is the way they are and this is why they think the way they think. So, yeah, the mother was definitely that. Mental illness played a role. And also, you know, there's a lot of parentified, what you talk about, Vanjie, parentified children who have to step up to the plate. And it doesn't necessarily mean that their parents suffer from mental illness or anything else, just that they have to step up to the plate and take care of themselves. And you find, like, even kids who are given more responsibility are more mature at a younger age, or, you know. So it just all, like I said, it just all kind of connects for me. And so it comes very natural for me to pinpoint these issues and say, okay, if this happened and this happened, and that's why this would have happened, and, you know, if the mom suffered from this and they were exposed to that, then here's the possibility of who they would become. And it's a very common story. And I think what I really love about this book, and so unintentional on my part, so unintentional, but that it touches on so many national issues, as you know, and struggles that people go through. And one of my readers said, which I loved, and she said it humanized these issues for her. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about it that way because I worked with all of these populations, I don't even look at that. I don't look at it as humanizing because it's just a human, it's just a human factor. It's just a fact of life, a way of life. This is how it is. And these are people's experiences. And so I just wanted to write about that. But outside of that, just to take so that the audience knows that it's a lot more to this book. It's a very beautiful, I think, steamy but realistic love affair happening throughout the book, which is a very driving force of why Vanjie becomes who she, what she does is kind of spin herself into this great big deception, and it's part of that is because of that, but also because of what do we do when we're trying to run from something? How far would you go? And as you know, people can go pretty far, very, 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 very far. And so, so I don't know. That's. I just want to talk about that piece too. But now I'm rambling. So what's the next question?
Yeah, you did kind of start going off there. I was about to have to bring you back in.
Bring me back in because I'm a talker.
But, Yeah, but I want to talk about the title, The Hand She Played. Who was the she for you?
The she is both, actually. The she is both. When you think about it, the she is both because, excuse me, hold on one second. The she is both because I think that's why I like the title, because if you look at the cover of the title and you know that they are identical twins, you really don't know which one. Now, I look at this cover and I see Vanjie more than I see Angie. But and then because it's half, I visualize the other half of Vanjie is Angie. And so it is the hand they both played, although it sounds like the hand that Vanjie played, because she did play a hand. But remember, they both played their hand. They played the hand they were dealt. I didn't like that title, but I was really thinking that in my mind, like when you're dealt a hand in life and you don't have a choice in the hand you're given, then what hand do you play? And so that's why I titled it The Hand She Played. So when I say hand she played, it was the hand she as in Angie and the hand she as in Vanjie both played in terms of what they were dealt. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, it's a fascinating book for sure. I know readers will definitely enjoy it. Again, everyone, Cheryl Mallory Johnson has been back with us today. The book is The Hand She Played. It's available now, of course, through our friends at Amazon.com. And then, of course, you can make sure you're staying connected with Cheryl. Cheryl, where's the best place for people to stay connected with you?
You can stay connected with me for certain on Facebook. I'm always on Facebook daily. So you can go to CherylMalloryJohnson.com, also on Instagram, which is S. Mallory Johnson, S. Mallory J. I tell you all these different names I have to deal with. And then also on Twitter, Cheryl Mallory Johnson. And you can also purchase the book not only on Amazon, it's on all ebook stores, on Nook. You can also walk into any Barnes & Noble in your neighborhood and order it, and it will be delivered to your neighborhood store or to your home. So those are your options in terms of other online bookstores. It's also available. So, did we already go through 30 minutes?
All right. We have already gone through. Like you said, you're a talker, Cheryl.
Oh, no.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for being back on with us. Really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of this chat with Cheryl, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb. Or, of course, you can go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I want to say, though, for Cheryl, though, on Twitter, make sure you guys find her there. There is S. Mallory Johnson. That's where you guys can find her on Twitter. But we've already tagged her there to make it easy for you guys to be able to find it. So all you have to do is go to our page. You can click on hers to be able to follow her, but then, of course, to click on the link to the interview, and you can be able to hear it there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.